Paul's first missionary journey here. With them still in Lystra. And what happens there? Remember that Paul and Barnabas, Paul had healed a man who was lame from birth. And what the crowd saw, what the crowd thought about that. These are Gentiles now. Not Jews, but Gentiles. And these Greek people believe that Paul and Barnabas are gods. So they start calling Paul Hermes, which in Rome would be Mercury. And Barnabas, Jupiter, or Zeus. And they're appalled. Paul and Barnabas are appalled at what's going on. And we love what Paul does, is Paul begins to preach to them. And we notice what he says in the text, and here in Acts 14, that Paul began with an argument from creation. As I said last week, he started where the people were. He found common ground there. As we're going to see, that's how Paul operates from time to time, finding common ground with people. And that's what he does here. But he confronts them with the truth. And as I said last week, there is no such thing as a spiritual vacuum. And they still had difficulty in keeping them from doing what they wanted to do. And as I said last week, I left you with, how would you explain the gospel to someone who's not familiar with this, who's not familiar with the scriptures? You thought about that? How do you explain to someone the gospel and they don't know anything about the Bible? Where do you start? Well, I think we do like what Paul did. But you have to establish common ground with them. You start from where they are. That's what they did. But now notice what happens here. Now this is probably some days afterwards. Not the same day. It said that they had difficulty. Verse 18. Restraining the crowds from offering sacrifices to them. They still wanted to see Paul and Barnabas as gods. We know what you've done. So they had to, but very much difficulty, keep them from offering sacrifices to them. But now, we don't know how long it was. Could have been a day. Could have been a few days. Text doesn't tell us. But what we learn next is this, verse 19. Jews. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, both from Pisidian Antioch and Iconium. From here and here, they come down to Lystra. And these ones that are coming from Pisidian Antioch, these Jews, they're coming by foot. But they come almost 100 miles to Lystra. From Iconium to Lystra, it's about 40. So these Jews, they come from Pisidian Antioch, probably go to Iconium, get some more Jews, more unbelievers. And they travel to Lystra. Imagine that? 100 miles to Lystra. But why? But Jews came from Antioch. Not Antioch of Syria either. What Luke is referring to is Pisidian Antioch. Not their home base. So what do they come to do? And they went, what do they do? Now, these are not Christians. And having won over the crowds, they still had people that were wanting to worship Paul and Barnabas. But now they went over the crowds. Because remember what Paul and Barnabas, they're appalled. They were appalled at what the people wanted to do. So they tore their clothes. Showed them, we're just men like you. So then all of a sudden these Jews, who are Jewish unbelievers, they come from 100 miles from the city of Antioch. Then they go to Iconium, get more Jews, go to Lystra. Why? Because they want to help Paul and Barnabas? No. They don't want to help Paul and Barnabas. They want to deter them. In fact, they want to harm them. What the text tells in verse 19 here is they won over the crowds. That means they had to talk to these Gentiles, and somehow they won them over there to their position. But can you imagine they probably said to those people, because of what we see next here. It says they won over the crowds. Traveled over 100 miles from the city of Antioch and Iconium to harass Paul and Barnabas. So they persuade the people, these Gentiles in Lystra, who at first they wanted to worship them as gods. But now these Jews win the crowds over to their side. And now what do they want to do? Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 18, we read this. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. This was hate. These Jews hated Paul and Barnabas. You see, there's a lesson in this for us here. Now, when it says here, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Who's the they there? It's not the crowd of people. If you want to think, well, they won over the crowd, and so the crowd just gathered together, and so they decided they're going to stone Paul. No. These Jews who came over 100 miles to Lystra, it's these visiting Jews who proceeded to stone Paul. How were they able to do that? Because they had won the crowds over to their side. And these people probably began to think, oh, okay, so they're not gods. Yeah, they did heal this guy. And they're men just like us. What are they doing? So somehow these Jews won them over to their position. Well, Paul and Barnabas, they're agitators. That's what they are. That's probably what they said, told them. They're not here to do you good. Someone might have said, well, they healed this guy. Said, yeah. But all these guys want to do is cause trouble. So they went over to their side. They means the Jews who came down. The people of Lystra, for some reason, didn't stop them from stoning Paul. And the they who dragged him out of the city was the Jews. These people who Paul and Barnabas had been preaching to let these Jews drag Paul out of the city and stone him. Then they left him for dead. And these Jews probably thought, okay, we've taken care of this guy now. And they probably went back to Antioch and Iconium, leaving Paul. They thought he was dead after all. How could they do all this? Because they persuaded the people against them. So what happens here? And again, there's a lesson in this for us as well today. Jesus said, the world hated me. If you're of me, if you're one of mine, then just as the world hated me, the world's going to hate you. We see that same thing, brothers and sisters, today. What if we would, you can imagine, would you put yourself in Paul and Barnabas' place? What would you do? Deny Christ? Some have. Some would. They did even in the early centuries of the church. When persecution, when that type of persecution came, deny Christ. It makes me think about even now, not too long ago, Coptic Christians were captured by what they call the ISIS, Islamists. The Egyptian Coptic Church is the oldest of the quote-unquote churches in the world. But they took these Coptic Christians. Remember this? Did you see the pictures of that? I forget how many there were. A dozen or so, or more. Lined them up on a beach. And wanted them to deny the fact that they were Christians. And what happened to them? They beheaded them. All of them. See, we have modern martyrs today. The same thing. Because of their belief in Christ. And there are those today, brothers and sisters, who would like to persuade people against Christ. They don't want us to follow Christ. They don't want people to follow Him, let alone believe in Him. And why? Because of what He stands for who He is. So what happens here is what we read here is the disciples, that means there were Christians in the city, but they couldn't keep the Jews from stoning Paul and leaving him for dead. But Christian believers in Lystra, they find Paul. Now notice what it says. They stood around him. And after they had preached, it says, verse 20, but while the disciples stood around him, he got up and he entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. There were Christians in Lystra, and they found Paul, and they stood around him. They thought Paul was dead. Where's Barnabas? We don't know. Paul was the one that the Jews were after. They were the ones that they stoned. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, left him for dead. Probably because Paul, they knew that Paul was the leader. Perhaps, we don't know, perhaps Barnabas went to get help. Something happened there because disciples came and they stood around him. And they did. They thought Paul was dead. But Paul recovered completely. And he returns to Lystra. Now people want to say, well, Paul wasn't, you know, Paul was just faking it. Yeah, he was stoned, but he was just faking it. It says that he was dragged out of the city and he was left for dead. And some want to say, well, you know, Timothy, his mom and his grandma, they took him back into the city and they helped him to get well. And they brought him back. I don't think so. I think it was a miracle. Paul was dragged out of the city and he was left for dead. It is indeed a miracle. I think that it goes back to what Paul mentions. You want to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I think this happened during that time. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. Remember what he lays out there? Three times, he says, three times I was beaten with rods. Once, now notice this, what it says, once I was stoned. That's what Paul is referring to here. What happened to him in Lystra? He says, once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have spent in the deep. But he said only once he was stoned. That was in Lystra. And what's the significance of this? Go back, look at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 12. I think indeed Paul, being left for dead, had the experience then. Notice what it says. Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ. He's speaking of himself. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. That was Paul. And I think that happened when he was stoned. I do believe that Paul was indeed on the verge of death. And it was a miracle. It wasn't anything that Timothy's mother and his grandmother did. It wasn't anything that Barnabas or any of the others did. It was a miracle. They're standing around him. They think he's dead. Now what do we do? And all of a sudden, not too long after that, Paul stands up. It says he stood up. Imagine that. You're stoned and you're left for dead, and then all of a sudden you stand up. And what do? It says he got up and he went back into the city. He went back into Lystra. Can you imagine that? He had been stoned and dragged out of the city. And now he's going to go back? Who in their right mind would do that, you would think? Some would think, well, Paul, what, have you lost your senses? Don't you realize what happened to you? And you're going to go back there? But that's what he did. That's what it says he did. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and he went back to the city. What do you suppose he was going to do back in Lystra? They let him be stoned, left for dead. And he's going to go back there? But he does. What do you suppose he's doing? I think he continued to preach the gospel. Paul was not going to let that stop him from what the Lord had him to do. So he goes back there. That's another lesson for us today. You see the perseverance in Paul? How much he believed in what the Lord wanted him to do. So he goes back there. Many people would say, huh, are you kidding me? I'm not going to go back there. Those people let me be stoned and left for dead. You got to be kidding me. I'm not going to go back there. Let that happen to me again, but Paul does. He let nothing stand in the way of who he is in Christ and what Christ would have him to do. Where many people, that's what that's exactly what they would do, is saying, no way am I going to go back there. I'm going to go somewhere safe where nothing can happen to me. But Paul teaches us what it takes to be in Christ and what that can entail. You think maybe it could have been going through Paul's mind, if I go back, maybe they would really kill me. Not just left for dead, but maybe I would. I don't think that mattered to Paul. What mattered to Paul was Christ, who he was, what he could do for those people. And we're going to see later that indeed there were those who believed. Notice what happens next now. The next day, they go to Lystra, back to the city. It says the next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. They leave. And they walk from Lystra to Derbe. And notice what it says. After they had preached the gospel to that city, to Derbe. So they go here and they're preaching the gospel. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples. Notice that? See that? They preached the gospel. People came to Christ. What did they do then? Okay, we're done. We're going home. So they walk about 20 miles from Lystra to Derbe. about 20 miles further to the east. Indeed, this is still something to take note of. The next day they left, walked 20 miles. The day before that, Paul had been stoned and dragged out of the city. But he's able to walk 20 miles where they continue to preach the gospel. Isn't that amazing? I think that's a miracle. People may not want to see it that way, but I think it is. Now, it's probably winter time while they're there. So it doesn't tell us how much time they stayed in Derbe, but they probably stayed there for some time. But from what the text tells us, they had a whole lot of success there. Because what it says is, they had made many disciples in Derbe. Now, that's a smaller little city than Lystra was, and Pisidian, Antioch. But it tells us they had much success there. And after they had, probably after the winter had passed, what did they do? They retraced their steps. They go back to Lystra. Then they go to Iconium. Then they go back to Pisidian Antioch. What do you suppose they're doing all that time? Just going through having a sightseeing tour? I don't think so. They're seeing what they had accomplished, what had been done. They're checking on the disciple. They're checking on these new Christians, is what they are doing. You see, the question is, we read here, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Present tense. That means continuous action. And look what they say. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Notice what Paul had just experienced not too long before that. They knew he was stoned. So now what they're telling these Christians in these cities is, through many tribulations, through much suffering, we must enter the kingdom of God. And then it says, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, that means in all those cities they appointed leaders for them in every church there. Having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. The question arises, why did they return to those cities? After all, they had been kicked out of most of the cities they went to. The city in Antioch, they were kicked out of there. Lucia, Paul was stoned. They didn't want them there. But they did. They went back. They could have gone east. They could have went and visited Paul's family in Tarsus. But they didn't do that. What's the lesson in that for us? After they do that, then they return back. They take a ship back, and they return back to Antioch of Syria. That took tremendous courage on their part to return to cities that they had been thrown out of. It's another lesson for us in that. But why would they do that? Because, brothers and sisters, Paul and Barnabas were thinking about those new Christians, about those fledgling Christians, about those fledgling congregations, and not that they weren't thinking about themselves. They were thinking about others. And again, we need to see that a considerable amount of time elapses since they were in those cities last. So they go there and they strengthen them. And they encourage them. But they do warn them about coming persecutions. And in each of the cities, notice this, it says in each of the cities they set aside elders, not elder, singular, elders, plural, in every congregation. What we see here, mentioned here, is that there is was in every church group a plurality of elders, not just one, to oversee the work of the church. See, the New Testament teaches nothing about an official church board, but it does talk about elders. And note that Paul and Barnabas, along with the Christians there in each church, prayed and fasted. And then finally, Paul and Barnabas, before they would leave each city, they commended the care and guardianship of each local church body to Jesus. That's something. So they make their way back to Antioch of Syria. And they travel through. They come back, take a ship, they come back, or they walk from the city in Antioch all the way down here, and they go to all the places that they had been. Then they return to Antioch of Syria. They're slowly making their way to the coast of the Mediterranean, and it's interesting. What I find interesting here, what we read is, they go back to Perga, where they had not had much success. But they go back there. And they continue to preach the gospel there. And we see that they had some success then. Then they return to Antioch of Syria. What's the first thing that Paul and Barnabas do? Oh, we've been on a long journey that lasted about 3 years. So they get back to Antioch, Syria. You suppose they said, all right, we need some R&R. We don't want to have any people. We don't want to have anybody around us. We just need some rest and relaxation. Man, we've been through it. We don't want any people around us. We don't want to have anything to do with anyone. We're just going to have some R&R. They don't do that. The first thing that Paul and Barnabas do when they arrive back in Antioch of Syria is they call the church together. Why? Because they wanted the church to know, they wanted these Christians in Antioch of Syria to know what had happened on this first missionary journey into Asia Minor. Notice what they do. They passed through Pisidia and came into Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there, they sailed to Antioch of Syria, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. When they had arrived, as soon as they got there, they gathered the church together. And they reported all the things that... Notice this. Paul and Barnabas didn't get all the church together and, hey, we want to tell you about what we did. All the great things that we did, what we accomplished. Look at how great we are. That's what many want to do today. Paul and Barnabas didn't do that. Notice what they did when they returned to Antioch of Syria and they gathered the church together. They began to report all the things that God had done. That God had done with them and how God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And it says, then they spent a long time with the disciples in Antioch of Syria. Now, what that brings us to is when they, by the time they get back to Antioch of Syria now, it's about 49 A.D. When they left, it was 47 A.D. So they had spent 2 to 3 years, closer to 50 AD by the time they get back to Antioch of Syria, on the road, preaching the gospel. And they come back and they don't leave Antioch of Syria right away. Instead, they spend a long time there. In fact, what we're going to see next week, they spend from 50 AD by the time they get back there, they spend from 50 AD to about another year. But then they had to leave Antioch of Syria. And they had to leave for a very important reason. And what they do is they go back to Jerusalem. Note here, though, that what's important, what we see here, they give all the credit and honor to the Lord, not themselves, not say, look at me, look at what we what I accomplished. Look at what I've done. Look at how big a church I've got. Or we built it. No, they give the honor and the glory to the Lord. So they probably left from about, as I said, about 45 AD, and they arrived back sometime in 49 AD. So more than likely it's been a little over 3 years. H. Leo Bowles, the late Church of Christ a cappella scholar, he did some calculations. And he determined that Paul and Barnabas traveled over 1,200 miles in those over 3 years period. And that they had established more than half a dozen churches and while they were gone on that journey, and they come back. That's amazing. But they didn't attribute it to themselves. They attributed it to God. Right? What's going on today is that there's too much attributing. Guys want to attribute it to themselves and not to him. Whereas the lesson we learned, one of the lessons we learned from here is that the honor should go to him of whatever happens in his church. When people are brought to the Lord in that, the honor should go to him. Perhaps that's part of the problem today, is not enough honor is given to him. And perhaps people don't take the gospel as serious as they should. That's what Paul and Barnabas did. That no matter what the consequences, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell others about Christ. Because I want them to have what I have. That's what Paul and Barnabas were doing. That's what they wanted to see accomplished. And so they tell the church of Antioch of Syria all that happened, that how God had opened the door to the faith of Gentiles. But lo and behold, you would think they'd have peace. But we're going to see next week that there was not peace there. Because there was a certain faction that wanted the Gentiles, Christians at the time, they wanted them to be a certain way. And it caused a havoc. It caused confusion, and it caused a split within them. And they didn't just let it go. They knew it needed to be taken care of. But to do that, they had to go back to Jerusalem. Where the main church was. And they solved that, as we're going to see. Let's stand, we're going to sing. Come home. Lord, I'm coming home. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he wants us to get people to do. So many people, that's what they've done. They've wandered so far away from God. And so many of them think there's no hope. And what we have to get them to realize, the only hope there is, the only hope in the world there is Christ.